Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Yes, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and of course we just had that beautiful conversation with the Executive Director, Chief Operating Officer of the Nigeria Social Sovereign Investment Fund. And of course, it's now time for Real Talk with Lola. Real Talk with Lola every Sunday on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, 6 p.m. Nigeria time. And I'm sure she's ready with another interesting guest for this episode. And just to remind you, this month we are talking about trauma, the myths, the truths, and beyond. All right, Lola, over to you. Are you ready for us today?
Yes, I'm fully ready. And I hope we have I hope we've all had a lovely Sunday. Today is the beginning of a new session. Like I said, we're going to be talking trauma. Trauma, like everybody knows, is a painful event, but I'm looking at trauma from a different perspective as a psychologist. I'm looking at trauma. There's a lot of myth that comes with trauma. There's a lot of truth that comes with trauma. And there's a lot of things that go beyond the traumatic experience. The month of February, I'm going to be talking to, like I said, four very strong women who are going to take us through their journey and how they've been able to go through the path and know what everything is. My first guest today, sent out on...
No, Lola, before you go to your first guest, quite a number of reactions from your set of guests. Everybody's wondering, why women? Okay, and I'm wondering too. I've gone through my own fair share of trauma in life, and people are complaining, Lola is bringing only women. All right, so they're asking me to bring my own men too. Let's talk about trauma. Trauma is not gender-based.
No. I agree with you. Trauma doesn't know gender, to be honest with you. It doesn't know gender. It doesn't even know. And that is why in my third episode, I'm going to show you that trauma doesn't even know color. It doesn't know race. It doesn't know anything. It just happens to when it's going to happen, and it depends on how you deal with it. Why am I taking women on this issue? And I'm going to be very honest with you. Women have a better threshold in dealing with things. Let's be very truthful with ourselves.
Really?
Women have a better... Yeah. I mean, statistics have shown it, that women have a... I mean, men are men for who they are, but sometimes they hide a lot of things under masculinity. You understand? They hide a lot of things under masculinity.
Only that can come out from Lola. Men are men for who they are. Okay, I get you. I feel you. No problem.
Yeah. So my first guest is actually, I will call her a friend, a sister. I think I've known her now from the age of 12. You know, we've come a very long way. And she went through, why did I bring her on? She went through a very peculiar journey, which is not very, I wouldn't say it's not very common. It's actually a very common journey. But she's been an inspiration. She's been someone to show people, you know, like in the midst of tragedy, she was able to bring out strength. Like they say in Yoruba, Ninu Ikoko Dudu, you know, the wise stuff actually did come out. And she kind of showed to me that, look, you don't have to let some things really weigh you down and make you feel, you know, self-pity and all those things. You can actually, in the midst of all, bring out a lot of so much strength. So she's a Mrs. She used to be Miss Elemide, but she's well. She's, her name is Joke Elemide Fashola. She's she's an events planner. She runs a Montessori school. She in the package you, she can sell you.
Yeah. I can tell you. All right. I'm up for packaging. I'm up for packaging.
So that is what Joke is. And the thing that I say is that when she was going through so much trauma, which everybody would say, okay, no, it's not possible, she actually went on to get a PhD in the midst of all. And she's raising four very strong men. I'm talking about strong men.
Wow, that is sheer strength, madam. Congratulations. That is sheer strength. I'm sure our listeners will be itching to listen to our story today. Wow, four men. Okay, my mother had five, but not traumatic. Okay, maybe somewhere along the line, which I will also share because I'll be contributing too. All right, over to you, Lola. Go ahead.
Okay, so Joke, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Lola. How are you? Good to be here. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, we can.
I can.
Okay, good. Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. Good to meet you.
So good to see you. I've been in your office. You just can't remember, but that's talk for another day.
All right, no problem.
My name is Ibijoke Oluremi Fashola. Myself and Lola were class together right from 1979 to 1984 when we finished from Methodist Girls High School. There's some noise in the background, Lola.
A lot.
Not from here, not from our studios, here.
I'm just out
doing
in my garden.
In South Africa. Lola.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. So, myself and Lola were in class from 1979 to 1984. When we parted, we only to meet back around.
That's four boys. Not her husband. So she's talking about trauma.
Somebody is
that's
telling
why she
my
wants to talk to me.
Yeah, ID, you need to mute your audio. ID, mute your audio. We can hear what you're saying.
We have to start those two people, ID and Buddy.
Yeah, they are major. They are thorns in our flesh on this program. ID, did you get that?
Why don't you just?
All right. Okay. So go ahead. I'm sure she's heard us now.
Oh, what we're really talking about this evening is not anything new. It's something that happens. It's extremely common. Trauma is with us wherever we go, every time. Right now, I'm passing through serious grief. I lost my sister-in-law that we're very close. So these are things that happen. And like they say, c'est la vie. Life is what it is. These things happen. But how do we cope with trauma? How do we cope with grief? What do you do when you go through such? I will tell a story. I lost my husband 10 years ago this week, actually. Mm. 10 years ago this week. So this is actually my 10th year celebration of Majekodumi Fashola. Aru, you know him?
Yeah. Now I know.
He's coming back now. So he died. He was an architect, a very good man. My friends used to tell me that I got the best. I had a very good husband who understood his wife very well. So you can imagine losing such a man. And not actually going back to square one, but actually going back to square zero. Life was like everything would end. Leaving me with four lovely boys, none of them was in the university at all.
Mm.
One was just about finishing his secondary school when he passed on. And before he passed on, he was actually ill for 4 years. So you can imagine.
Wow.
When they say 10 years, I just say like it. But you know, the fact that somebody is still around you, still there, is not dead. You go through the weather, the moment and all that. But death is such a final thing. And the last person that will believe the person will die is the partner. Especially if you guys are really close, like we were. So, yeah, the worst happened. And how do you now move on in life? It was shattering. Yeah, definitely it was. Because there was a man that you did everything together. You know, guys, we just sit down and do amebo together. He was a gist lover. He was a joke. Cracker, he was gone. Family support, but like they say, no matter you understand?
Correct.
Everybody comes to say you know there for you, but can it really be the same? And incidentally, wherever people are also going through certain things themselves. So you can't say, ah, well, that's me. They're not pushing, they're not helping me. They're not coming in to lend a helping hand. How many helping hands did you lend to anybody? When these things happen to you, the best way to go about it is, yeah, go back to God and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, you really need to move on. So Joke Elemide Fashola is basically a widow of 10 years that God has helped. I say that a lot. I'm a woman helped by God. Lola, I hope my intro is okay for you now.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's brief.
You still want me to go on?
No.
If you want me to go on, there is a lot of stories.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of stories to tell. And what I basically want you to do for us is, apart from telling us your story, we want you to show us how you were able to draw strength. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm very sure Aru has some questions he wants to ask to Boke. One of the first questions I want to ask you is, it has happened. How have you been able to, what are the after effects of the trauma? Have you been able to manage yourself going forward?
Yeah. One thing that I think helped me was, I'm an only daughter with four brothers. So for the first time in my life, I saw a situation where four men, fathers, stood around me, my brothers, on the night my husband was buried, and they were weeping. All of us were weeping. And I was looking at them, and I was saying, and I was like, God, where do I go from here? Everybody gets to that point in grief and trauma. You get to that point of, but I tell you boldly that with God on your side, there is an ocean waiting for that fish to swim in. I am an advocate for, I'm not a traditionalist, but one thing I always tell people is that when a woman gives birth to a new baby, the woman is supposed to stay at home for 41 days in Yoruba land and actually 3 months in Igbo land. And I've come to understand that it's not really because the woman cannot go out, but it's because she's been through a lot and needs to really rest her body, rest her mind, rest her brain, and get herself back. So the first thing I did personally was to decide to mourn my husband for 40 days, 6 weeks. During the 40 days, I didn't even get to my gate. I was in, praying, you remember it's a four-year journey that I've just gone through. It's been 4 years since he was diagnosed with a terminal ailment. And I needed to sort of get myself back. It's been a long walk, only a few short holidays, which he insisted on me having, even while he was ailing. So at that point, I needed to go back to God. And I tell you, during the 6 weeks, it was like I had a book, it was like God handed me a move on therapy that, yeah, this is the handout, follow it. A business came during that time. I was looking for how do you make ends meet. So the job of two people that are doing it, it wasn't even easy. You have private schools, four children in private schools, one planning to enter university. But yeah, I rolled up my sleeves. And one thing I've been very careful about in my life is to actually beg for money. So I've always been a hard worker, always been in business, always doing things. And thank God, some of the things that would have been major stress, where we already had our own house, had my cars, and the children were okay. But how do you maintain this lifestyle? How do you maintain the lifestyle that you have without the children suffering it? And how many people do you want to take private school bills to? Who won't ask you? Have you forgotten that your husband is dead? Why are these children in these schools? At the end of the day, you won't get anything out of it. So the best thing is, mind your lane. Cut your clothes according to your...
To the material.
Whatever you have, if it is 2 yards, just sew what 2 yards will sew. It's not that you want to sew something agbada that you only have one, the sleeve. Whatever you want to do, cut your clothes according to your material. So, by and large, we moved on. And I learned one thing. That's the song of Mary Mackie. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. And that has been the mantra, what I tell people now. Stop overthinking. Live one day at a time. And sincerely, it helps. It's not as if you're not projecting. Be focused and be intentional about life. Sincerely, I don't do ikojayi. We're not running the same race. I mind my business. My focus became my children. I was so sure I didn't want to be battered. That's another story for another day. You have the Hawks who just want to pounce in without anything. And then if you don't face life, and if you think a man is going to help you go through that, you'll be shocked that the little you have in your hands will be taken away. I tell you. But I was lucky. I escaped a lot of onslaught, and to the glory of God, my children listened, because part of the things I learned, part of my takeaway during the 6 weeks of my staying indoors was actually searching things on widowhood, actually searching through widowhood, things on widowhood, especially in the Bible. And I held on to a verse in Isaiah which says, my children shall be taught of God. And anytime an issue cropped up, I'll just say, Lord, you have told me that my children will be taught of the Lord. And to the glory of God today, none of my children, despite the fact that money has been a big issue, none of them studied 4-year course. All of them, 5-year courses. Not just 5-year courses that they would have to do masters. So, ab initio, they go. I knew that, okay, this is a journey that you cannot walk alone. Only God can walk through you with this. And then I made everything open to the children. I made everything, you know. I wasn't running to anybody. So whatever we had, I made it open to them. Like recently, the last one of them entered university. And because of, he's got very good maths in JAMB. But he was supposed to enter UI for mechanical engineering. Because of this wahala of ASU, I called them and said, this man, having scored so high marks, he would naturally enter school. But with this, would I allow him to just stay at home and be doing gap year because of the situation the country is? So I called them and we decided he has to go to a private university, like I told you, Lola. And sincerely, it was a joint decision. Whatever thorough cover that people can bring, to the glory of God, they have got to a level that some of them have been able to chip in. So it is a battle. So a battle that used to be mine and God's alone. God is also raising help within. And that's why it's important to make sure that your children, that's the first thing the leader should do. Carry your children along. At that point in time, is you, God, and the children. Because if they don't understand what you are going through, they cannot empathize. Their children, mind you. If they don't know that food, before we used to take Kellogg's, now we have to take NASCO. Because we need to save. If they don't understand, they just ridicule you. Why are we taking NASCO? Why are we not taking Kellogg's? Why are we not drinking milk every time? Because those things happen.
But because we have our own house, and then the children, to the glory of God, understood their father. And also, when their father died, there's this particular picture that is really big, and in the living room. That picture was going behind me while I was inside. I made sure that that picture remained in the living room, not because of anything, but so that they do not forget that they had a father who was a loving and dear father to them. So they cannot forget his face. You know, it's very easy to forget his face over time. You just realize, it just begins to, the memory begins to
fade.
It begins to fade away. But they remember him, they remember the good times, even the youngest of them. And it's not been a rosy journey, but it's been a walk with God. And one other thing I did was, I was on my PhD before he passed on. And actually, one of the things, the last check my husband wrote was for my PhD, was to pay for my PhD, that session. He wrote it on his hospital bed. After he died, I was going to pull out. Then my supervisor called me. God raises angels to support you, to back you up. I tell you, I can tell any widow that. The first thing I tell any widow, because I've become a widow counselor. When people get widowed, now people will call me and say, okay, please, I need you to talk to this person. And I've seen good results come out of it. Because to the glory of God, I think God has helped me. My friends in OGMD wonder, say, they'll get what we do, because I was clear up at wrong. You understand? You need to make yourself happy. Happiness is a decision. Honestly, I tell people, no matter what you're going through, be intentional about being happy. You don't have to be lousy about it. They don't have to see you everywhere. You don't have to go on the drinking binge, but be intentional about being happy. And you know, when you have your people around you, it's always a big pleasure. We become a community of, you have gone off air. Somebody said it's gone off air.
I'm listening.
No, a listener from England is saying it's gone off air. So please do something about it.
Okay, let them check. Maybe the internet is failing.
Okay. So we.
It's there.
Your friends are very important. Friends and family. Identify the friends that are your friends. You can't open up to everybody. And I tell widows, don't go begging people for money. It cheapens your integrity. You understand? If people see that you are hardworking and really making a go at life intentionally, God raises help. I tell you. After I was talking about my PhD, my supervisor said, no, you cannot go. I told him. He said, oh God, please give me a year to think about it. But believe you me, that year that I was for my gap year, because for 1 year I said I was going to mourn my husband. I was wearing dark clothes. In fact, I ordered clothes, dark colors, soft suits. That was what I was wearing. Dark, gray, beige, brown, navy blue. That was what I wore for a year. Because this man wasn't going to walk this part again, which is one of my worries, really, when people say, hey, so he's dead and gone. Especially if he's dead and gone. And if you don't mourn, you won't have closure. The man is never going to walk this part again. People might not agree with me, but for me, I tell you, my mind is clear because I had a good man and I mourned him, and that gave me closure. That helped me a lot, and I had a focus. So a year after, I didn't know my supervisor was watching. February 11th, he waited. He called me March and said, Madam, it's over a year now. By end of April, I want your chapter 1-3 on my table. Sincerely. A project that I've been on the project 2 years before, my husband died. Now a whole year doing nothing. But doing nothing, I was just attending seminars. I know, I think it was like my brain was really fresh. Things that I would not be listening to, because all that time I would just be thinking, well, what next to what to my daddy? What are we going to, where is money going to come from? Busy, busy businesswoman. Once they say seminar is over, I'm out of the class, driven off to the next business. But this time, I was sober. I was calm. And I learned a lot from the seminars. Things that I was, that were not entering my ears at that time. So when I finished a job that I didn't do first 2 years, nothing, I finished my project in 2 years. 2 years. And I was like a woman on a mission. So before you knew it, I was graduating in flying colors. In flying colors. Grief can actually be turned to a big advantage. That is what I tell people. The best form of revenge for the enemy, if we want to look at it that way, is success. And people that, you know, normally, widowhood in this area, a lot of people run away, sincerely. A lot of people don't want to be part of your problem. And normal, it's normal. But you see, if you are successful, you don't need to call them. They will be the one calling you. And when you don't make it a point of duty to be calling people, because by the time you are calling for money, by the time you are calling for help, anytime you call them, if you don't call people, after some time, they think that you are okay. They will come back. They will come back and be asking you, how are you? And even be thinking that it is some people that are giving you money. I tell women, work hard. Work. And it is the work of your hand that God prospers. Work. It's important to work hard. It's important to be intentional about life. It's important to be steadfast. And it's important to carry the children along. And no frivolity. What you don't need, don't buy. Things that you cannot afford.
And then we look at the society at large, you know, because there are three different communities of yours that you had to deal with. And I sure know a few things, a few things about, you know, trauma and disaster and when things happen. And you have, so for you as an individual, that's where I want us to start. Okay. You've said, yes, you were with your brothers the night my senior was buried, you know, and everybody was crying. So now, how did you take it up from there to say, look, okay, after all of this crying, you know, they say, shine your eyes, you know what I mean. So how did you take it up from there, from a purely psychological point of view, to where you are now? I'm sure you started gradually, and of course, I'm happy that, you know, you've reiterated the fact that God placed people along your way. That's been my own story too. But, you know, from a mental composure point of view, how, where did you get the strength from? What did you see? What influenced you? Your brothers who were supposed to be supporting you were crying. For me, that's another, you know, low point. But how did you rise beyond the ashes?
I told you I had 6 weeks. 6 weeks of not stepping out of my company. 6 weeks of walking in my compound, walking 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers inside my compound. It's a fairly large compound, but 6 weeks to actually sit at the feet of Jesus to say, I need a roadmap. I needed a roadmap. Because by strength, I know man prevailing. Forget it. I needed a roadmap. And God, during the 6 weeks, introduced me to a business.
I can't believe that all the water things.
I went into, by the time I was leaving.
I know we're trying to get now.
Auntie Titi, can you please mute your mic? You're getting on our show. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
At the end of 6 weeks, I had planned for a cement business as an aside business to what I was doing. Because I realized I needed a business that would give me bulk money, whether I'm a kokoya or a mason padre. I needed a business that would give me bulk money. My brothers that I said were crying, they didn't have to give me money. But you see, there's something called emotional support. Mm-hmm. It's not always about money.
No.
And I tell people, that emotional support won't let me. My brother that was saying he was really enjoying me, he was listening in from England, would call me on a daily basis. And you won't believe it. I didn't realize that I wasn't laughing or smiling until one day. Thank God for video call. Thank God for all this WhatsApp that we now have. Then I think it was BlackBerry. Until one day, I think he cracked a joke and I laughed. He said, sister, I said, what? She said, you are laughing. I did not realize that I wasn't laughing. Because if I was going to laugh, he is that one person that I would usually laugh. And I was laughing.
I want to transfer my users.
And
all right, Auntie Morenika, you are bumping into our audio.
Why don't you mute people that are not supposed to be
speaking? Yeah, Lola, you can do that. Lola, do that for us, please. Go
mute
ahead.
Everybody. So I was in a situation where I didn't realize I had monitors, and it wasn't just family. My brothers had friends who were always be there. You have some friends till now. God, and that's why I tell people, don't look at the people you think will help you.
Yeah, that's
most
correct.
Of the time.
Yes.
Most of the time, God will raise a new set of people. People that you did not expect. So I tell people, don't look. No. Allow God to reach out your help. Because at such times, everybody needs help. But who the helpers will be are different, and they are up to God. My husband has friends. My husband has this. My husband has this. You do it for me. My husband's office people. My office people forget it. Honestly.
Yeah, right.
And they don't owe you. I tell people. They don't owe you. How many people did your husband do? So, how many people have you done to?
That's true.
But when God gives somebody a burden for you, they will not stop until they have carried it out. But I tell you, you have a role to play in that burden. The first person to carry the burden is you. The first person to carry the burden is you.
Okay,
the first
all right.
Decision maker.
Yeah, I see you've addressed the first two, which is basically the individual part. You took to entrepreneurship, you took to business, you know, and of course you had...
I've always been an entrepreneur.
Okay, all right. Well, you stepped it up, you know, and you focused on it, you know. Yes, all right. Okay, so the family, your immediate family too was there for you. But now let's look at what I consider the larger society, especially in Nigeria. There is hardly, I don't know, maybe there are, but there are far few in between where you can get institutional support for trauma. And that's Morenika and some Kuti. We're hearing a lot of jingling and rustling from, I think she should be muted. If you can mute her, Auntie Lola, that would help us a bit. Okay, very good. Okay, so there's hardly any support from the society, you know, the government, as it were. No institutional support, no trauma care, no post-loss, or, you know, and we've all gone through this one way or the other. What was your experience? Did you have anywhere to go to? Did you have a counselor that could come in? You know, just share that with us.
You know, in our society, institutional support, support from... Let me tell you, when this thing happens to anybody, by virtue of the way we are in Africa, somebody really comes. Yeah. You find mentors, quote and unquote. You find people coming. That's why I tell you what to do. Telling the people, yes, giving you an idea. Like, let me tell you, my own mentor in Widowhood got, for classmates that were at my 50th birthday, she stood up, an old NG girl. She's almost 80 now. Very close friend. When it happened, she drove straight to my house and gave me instructions. Lock your wardrobes. Get these papers. You know, make sure nobody drives any car out. You understand? You'll wake you up because they pass free. they will wake up your... If you, because if you sleep at that time, people will even steal from you. You don't know the family you have married into until this kind of thing happens. I've seen situations where they take documents,
everything.
They take everything from the woman. So when it happens to people, what we do is you move in. I'm setting up a widowhood foundation in memory of my husband. It's going to be known as Majakodumia Adio Foundation for Widows, MAF for Widows, MAF Foundation for Widows. First thing you need to do is make sure that, and the widow will naturally normally listen to you because you have walked the path. You understand? So when you enter, people are like grieving. I just call her to one side and you say, please, can I see you? Because normally the person will be known to you or probably knows you or probably somebody who knows you and the newly widowed person would bring you that they need you to talk to her. Because the air that are there, for the people that are seated around her, they don't understand her situation. They need to bring in somebody that will break it down. They will cry, but the Tabasuku
Amarino.
Open your eyes and let your ears be wide open. What I do is, I tell them, close your mouth. That was what I was doing. Close your mouth. Open your ears and open your eyes because you will see shock. The people that you expect will be for you are going to be against you. So when that happens, just close your mouth. Because some people are even waiting. You know, in Africa, people are quick to say, she did not let anybody hear that he was ill. She did not do this. She did not do that. The woman suffers a lot. It's different kettle of fish when a man gets widowed. When a man gets widowed, in fact, they can even be saying he cannot sleep alone. But when the woman gets widowed, they're looking for how to steal from her. They're looking for how to steal things from her. But seriously, I tell you, mentoring is important.
Talking about seeking a mentor, okay? How do you as a widow, okay? I mean, let me just digress a little bit. Aru, and I want you to listen to that. You know, she just said something now because you said, I'm taking all women. It's always a different ballgame. And I know that when a man loses his wife, there's pity. There's pity. People want to bring in a woman to soothe him almost immediately. But with a woman, they expect you to stay without a man, if possible, forever. You know, they don't expect you to be married. So, okay, going to my question. How do you seek a mentor when you are a widow? But you need to understand that the mentor would have your interest. How do you know this mentor has your own best interest at heart?
No, normally a mentor would be a trusted person, somebody that you all most usually already know her antecedent. You can't just pick anybody as a mentor. And usually the mentor draws to you and begins to. So it's not every advice that you can take. And it's not everybody that can give you advice. Sincerely. Because if somebody is saying, next thing, you have to look for a man that will be giving you money and taking care of your children. That is not a like mind. That is not a like mind. A mentor should be somebody that has worked with. And when people call me to say, it's because they know that that's not the way that, despite it all, mentors are proven people that have walked the path in a successful manner. It's not everybody that can mentor you. Is it a woman that cannot even feed herself that will come and mentor you? Which road is she going to show you? A mentor should be able to show you, yes, this time is difficult. So usually a mentor is, they'll call a mentor to you. And it's not everybody that you can mentor. I've tried to mentor people and I realized that, they are frivolous people. So what's your problem? You are widowed. People have different ways they want to live their life. So that's it. But Nigeria, the African mindset, in fact, they would even be greeting the husband. Somebody that they should even deal with. They'll be using pancake and wait for it, Lola. Lola, wait for it. It is women, no. It is us. It is the women. I see this thing every time. It is the women. They're the one that will say, ah, Otikuo, you need to move on. Nobody is not saying they should not move on, but why I beg you. Ah, which one is 6 months you are remarried? Which one is 1 year you are remarried? That bad. Is it a chicken that died? That's what I tell people. But it is women. It is not the men. It is the women that will say, ah, it is the dead us part now. Yeah, you should just move on. Yes. Nobody's not saying anybody. I can move on. I could have moved on.
Let me ask a very, will I call it a very intrinsic question? And I know you know where I'm coming to. This is not friends now. This is me. How do you draw strength in your lowest time? I mean, psychologically, physically, sexually.
Good. Is celibacy a crime?
No. But can everybody practice it?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
And I'm not saying people should practice it, but I will not, because of sex, undress for just anybody. Excuse me. What's that?
Yeah. Okay.
You understand? You see, this thing is about mindset and mind shift.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to say.
Because
mindset.
Because no. No. Sincerely, and you know we've had this discussion. Sex is overrated.
It is overrated.
Sexual, emotional feelings, let me tell you, will take 15, maximum 30 minutes, and it will be gone.
No,
and actually,
that's
you are
easier between 5 and 20 over that.
No. Even if you actually have sex,
please mute that Feyi Kemi joke. Intruding.
Good morning. I'm very loyal, sir.
Even if, okay, assuming, Lola, you get a man, any man, I had a man who cheated me like egg. Then any man who wants to come and cheat me like, I beg you. Let that feeling just... Oh, Lola. Hey, Lola. I had a man who cheated me like egg. Then because I want to have fun, the man would now just cheat. No, I beg. Never reach that side. And I think about, you see, also in widowhood, we should think about the people around us. I think about my children a lot. About my children alone.
All right, that's where I was going to go next. That's where I was going to go next, because now, how did you cope with four boys, especially from a purely psychological point of view, knowing that there's no father figure for them any longer? And, you know, what were the general things that you did, and how did they also react, you know? Before you ask, I'll answer that question. Let me also remind Lola that, yes, we talked about the men, but you know, widowhood is not the only form of trauma, you know. And I'm sure as we go along, we're going to talk about us. No problem. But she has four women on trauma, but no problem. I'm here. Perfect example. I will give you. So, how did you cope with the kids?
Yeah, I told you, my children shall be taught of the Lord. I got that during the 6 weeks. And even in raising mentors, I have four brothers, I told you. I have one of them who is actually very close to me, and by extension, very close to my children.
Mm.
Very close to my children. The other people I thought could be father figures to them could not be. And sincerely, you can't bring in just anybody. You can't just open your children to just anybody. People can be gentle. And raising four boys, you have to... But I think
I can't hear you.
I just tell you. But I was saying, I would always say before I misbehave. There are times you feel you want to misbehave. I think about my children and I ask myself if these children should. And you know, unfortunately, what gets around. I am a very thoughtful person. What gets around? I was in my husband's office one day and he looked at me and said, Jokeba Olusekun mo ni kilode. What if you were messing up in town? I would have heard the story in my office. It's a very small world that we live in. Over the phone, over the internet, over, you just have, begin to hear stories. If you want to escape scandal, which will be a shame to me and a shame to my children, because of what? Because of sex. How much is a man going to give you? Yes, sex is needed. But I tell you, you can't just be hopping into bed with just anybody. And 6 months after, that one has gone. Another one has rolled in. Then the one pot-bellied man comes in today. The next day, I don't have the time. I tell people, get busy, get a life. It's a matter of time. By the time God knows you need a companion. My children for now are my companion.
Yeah.
My children for now, but you see, they're getting to that age. So I'm even thinking about it. But I'm still not sure. You understand? It's a situation that you get to by and by. And I depend on God for the best. So it's not as if because of sex. No. If it's sex, then it's out there in the
open. Sex now. I asked 3 basic questions. Okay. I'm exactly because you are going off. Okay, calm down. What I'm saying to you is
what are the other two?
Exactly. What I'm saying to you is that, look, I mean, it's a situation. We don't need to be real. It's a situation. There are 3 aspects to it. How do you draw strength from this situation? I mean, we're all human beings. There are things that we need to satisfy. There are days you want to, hold on. There are days you come home that you want to just talk to him. There are days I'm very sure there are days you are like, you rush into the house when it first happened, like, oh, what they could do, did you know that? And then you just realize, oh, this person is not there. You understand? So how did you overcome those things? How did you draw strength?
No.
All right, don't worry. Just as you answer, just know that we have just 3 more minutes to go.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah, well, so.
I have friends. The only thing I don't do, Okobo Miyoki Lokositosi. I don't have friends around me. So there's no temptation of
God.
There's no temptation of Tarewa. No. I have friends that are guys. We geez, we talk. And yes, you have friends. It doesn't have to be, you just strength. You can actually draw strength even from your children. My brothers are a pillar of strength. Yes.
Yeah.
My brothers are a thick pillar of strength. There are times I open my heart to my, especially the one in the UK. The worst part of widowhood, I didn't mention, is not Adagbeo, it's not Adaso, it's Adaro. Thinking alone. Thinking alone is the worst part. So you hit the nail on the head. Thinking alone. Adaro. University all over in my love, but over time, what is the Ogolobi? You understand? And you see, I can
positive Ogbolobo, not negative Ogbolobo. Positive Ogbolobo.
Of course, positive Ogbolobo. I'm a reference. I have become a reference point. And for some of us that have been widowed, you see, if you pass through a situation, you can actually mentor. You know, on our platform, you know, we actually do silent mentoring. People will just want to say, "Okay." If it happens, I go behind and I say, "Well, get documents out of the house, do this, do that," and they have found it to be very helpful because people are rogues. They know how to steal from the window. And by the time she opens her eyes, by letting more, she won't even know
what to do. Finally, because I mean, like I said, we have just a few more minutes to go. I will look at it. I will close up with the fact that, look, psychologically, I know it's a path that only you alone. I mean, it's not the path that 2 people can walk the same way.
And not 2 you parts. Not 2 widowhood parts are the same.
Exactly.
Because people are different.
That's why.
Some people had terrible marriage. Some people had good marriage.
Yes.
Some people were not even living together at the time of the husband's death. There are different scenarios and different medications. Don't use ivermectin for everything.
Finally, tell us finally, how do you ward off negative things from you? Like men, definitely men would have made the advances at you. You know, in-laws would have come? How do you ward off all those negative things you don't want? How do you put them at,
Lola,
at bay?
I understand you. Lola, if you don't feed me, you can't mess with me.
Yeah.
If you don't feed me, you can't mess with me, even in-laws. If you don't feed me, forget it. Oh, bomb me now. If you don't feed me, I tell people, be independent. If you are not feeding somebody, you can't talk to me anymore.
Oh, no, 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 no.
All right. Before we turn this into a Lola and Joke MG matter, let's round it up on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Okay, I wish that we had more time. Maybe we'll see what we can do in terms of bringing. Yeah, but not.
I can do a whole book on it.
I know nothing teaches better than experience. You see, and like just like your final point, which is no two widows go on the same path. No two widows go on the same path. Wow. All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. Joker Fashola and Lola. What would you like to say? Doctor, please. Yes, that PhD is very bad. PhD, Benny. All right, Lola, what do you like to say? Round it off. You got to go.
Like I said, Joket, thank you so very much for coming, because I actually needed somebody that could bring it the way it was, and I know Joket will do justice to that. I mean, if I gave Joket the whole of 3 hours, she will still be on this issue. But the most important thing, like I want to say, is that, look, in the midst of so much trauma, you can still draw strength. And that is what Joke has shown us. That in the midst of trauma, you can draw strength. But the only way for me, I tell people to do that, you can draw strength, is for you to have your thinking cap on. No matter the situation, I always say to people, never use your heart. Like my friends always say, I always use my head, not my heart always.
All right, thank you very much. No problem, you still do. Okay, I'm sure we're going to call Dr. Joke Fashola some other time, and I think there'll be another time, Lola. We're thinking of doing something on raising an all male children. Hey, mommy's sons or daddy's daughters, and then we'll be bringing her on, because I know that she's going to have something that she'll be sharing with us. All right, that's the way it's going to be today on Real Talk with Lola, all the way from South Africa. And thanks to Dr. Joke Fashola for sharing her experience with us on trauma being a widow. And of course, next week, Lola will bring another interesting guest. All right, Spirit of Nigeria Radio continues with programming. Next up is Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.